Now, the relatives of the 10 people killed by soldiers in Ballymurphy in 1971 walked out of their meeting with the new Secretary of State, James Brokenshire, yesterday. The meeting was being held to call for funds to be released by the British government in order for inquests to start. And John Taggart's father was one of the innocent people murdered. John is on the line. John, good morning.
Morning, Frank.
John, do you really believe you will get anywhere? And I just wonder, having a meeting with the likes of the Secretary of State, the Secretary of State's not making the decision on this. This decision surely has been made in London, end of story.
Well, that's just like you say. That's where the decisions are made and then can't be made. But you have continued Secretary of State. That's the first Secretary of State that we've met. Making decisions and making decisions overnight, making laws overnight, as you've seen in the past. If there's the will for a decision being made on this, it can be done, and it can be done immediately.
Yes, but if there was the will to do it, but surely history tells us there isn't the will to do it, and there certainly isn't the will on behalf of the First Minister to do it either. So it's unlikely to deliver what you're looking for.
No. It's unlikely. Well, that's where people like ourselves need to be campaigning, need to be changing people to a mindset like ourselves. You heard Martin McGuinness, Deputy First Minister, and he says it lies fairly and squarely with the British government. That's where it lies. The likes of Arlene Foster, who has held a veto over the deaths of all these 95 people who come through the legacy courts. She has held that veto, and it is down to party politics for it. But that's a local level. But like I say, it does lie fairly and squarely with the British government.
But John, do you honestly believe in your heart of hearts that any of our most senior and successful politicians want the answers to come out, want indeed the true story of what has been described as the legacy of our history to come to the fore, whether it is the British government represented by the Secretary of State, whether it is the Unionist government represented at the moment by Arlene Foster, or whether it's the Republicans represented by Martin McGuinness? Do you honestly think any of those three groupings want the truth to come out?
Well, you have to go by the statements they're making, and you have to look into the statements they're making. I would take heart from what Martin McGuinness has said, that families and all families needing the truth. He has said many, many times. But when you start going into the politics of words, the likes of Arlene Foster, when she says that she won't allow history to be rewritten, it's for families like ourselves. We're not trying to rewrite history. We're trying to correct it. My father's still down as a gunman, and that's the. And we will continue to campaign as hard as we can for all the families that are going through the legacy inquest at the moment.
Yeah, it's totally understandable what you're doing and what the other families in Ballymurphy are doing, and people looking in from the outside will see that campaign for all its pluses, and will be wishing indeed that those families that are searching for answers, wishing them well, but at the same time they'll also be looking at the political figures. And if we're going to get answers, we have to get answers to everything. We can't insist only on answers that come from the state killings. Do you think we'll ever get answers from the terrorists who did the killings as well? Because surely if one comes out, the other has to come out. So the likes of the support coming from Sinn Féin, it would tend to be a one-sided form of support. So therefore, it can easily be argued that it is not true support.
Well, that wouldn't be for campaigns like ourselves. We were campaigning for 11 and civilians, but we're trying to bring about at the moment to get these inquests started. I'm not a politician, but I would say that for all politicians, they need to be really, really serious about dealing with the past. Then it's okay words saying that, but there is mechanism that are supposed to be set up. What you look at the moment, the only mechanism anybody has at the moment is legacy inquests, and all it is a political will to release that money. If on a local level of Arlene Foster put her party politics say that and do that there. We could have, as the Lord Justice Weir says, we could have our inquest within a year. But you have to look at it in a wider spectrum of all the ones who were murdered through the Troubles. You look at ourselves, where there was never ever a proper policeman, never ever a police investigation at all. You look at different levels of who went through the courts. There's over 30,000 to 40,000 people who went through the courts for a lot of these crimes. And then you look at what happened in the state, where you had the army personnel going through the courts for all the murders. And when you look at the murders, the likes of Bob Murphy, Magello O'Hare, all these young people shot and murdered by the state, and with collusion, been involved in far multis from both sides, that all needs to be come out. But when you look at it, there are many soldiers, or three soldiers, and all released early, and all brought back into their army life, and retired with pensions. You know, that you have to look at the balance there. If we're talking about balance, you have to look at the balance. 30,000, these soldiers. So where's the balance there?
There's also a very important point, John, that people at this moment in time who are now living in 2016, think back to 1971, and they can hardly visualise what it was that was happening. The backdrop at the time was internment. The backdrop was unrest. There was IRA activity. There was rioting. But there were 10 innocent people in the Ballymurphy area over the period of about 3 days who were going about their normal business, their normal routine, in an abnormal set of circumstances that existed in West Belfast, in an incredibly abnormal set of circumstances. But they were killed, they were murdered in the most heinous of circumstances. And I'm just thinking of one picture in particular whereby there was a man standing outside a funeral, and it was a funeral of a young lad who had been in a drowning accident.
That's right, yeah.
And he was just a mourner at the church who had come out for a breath of air or whatever, and the paras just shot him dead.
Yeah. That was John McCarr.
Yeah, it's hard to get away from the butchery that was going on at that present moment in time from a regiment that then, a very short period of time later, would be associated with Bloody Sunday in Derry. So people will totally understand why you are calling for the money from the likes of the Secretary of State.
And others. You have to remember, and the whole of Ireland, there's more than 90% of political life, politicians in the Dáil and up at Stormont. There was 6 political parties in the room supporting the Ballymurphy families yesterday. The only politicians who weren't there was from the DUP. And just a couple of corrections, there was 11 people murdered in Ballymurphy, and at the time of these murders, there was no army personnel who were wounded. There was no police who were wounded. There was no arms recovered. There was no ammunition. And from all our eyewitnesses, not one eyewitness who says there was shooting from the IRA, far from it. It was all come from one side. And the people that listened in there might say, were there smoke, there's fire? A lot of people have said there's, and including people who support us now, there was smoke, there's fire. But when you get down till the evidence that we have and the eyewitness that we have and the way our loved ones are murdered, like there's 14 bullets passed through my father and his body from one of our eyewitnesses says the body bounced with every bullet that passed through. The reason for that is only 50 yards away that the pars were shooting. They knew exactly they were shooting. They knew about the priest laying after the first shot, laying on his back praying, and the fatal shot came through his body. They knew, because it was all short range from army marksmen, from the paratroopers.
And there was also the terrible case of a man who was taken into custody and was actually shot in custody, and that has since been proven when his remains were revisited in the graveyard.
Yeah, well, that there's Joseph Murphy. As some people have seen in the news recently, Joseph Murphy's wife, Mary Murphy, she had died recently. It was just a coincidence. She died on the 45th anniversary of her husband's murder. He had died. He was only shot in the leg, but like you say, this here wound, there was two bullets, one entry wound. He had told his wife Mary on his deathbed that the shot, he was shot again. He was beaten also in the park, but when he was exhumed, went back, there was tests done, and within an hour they had found another bullet. That in itself shows you the brutality and the mindset of these paratroopers. There's 600 paratroopers running the book in Ballymurphy. That's a mindset where they're taking people in the custody there, and not just so they can, trying to give medical aid, but actually beating them and shooting them in custody. And the same with Mrs. Connolly, where she was left to die. She was heard to be crying out, "I'm blind, I can't see," for hours later. A soldier in charge of 85 paratroopers in the army park says she was obviously dead. They're bound to hear the cries of Mrs. Connolly. And there's a report recently done by Lawrence Rock, who proved that the shots that from the paratroopers and the Mrs. Connolly, none of them were fatal. If she had to get medical aid, she would have lived. That was really hard for the families after all those years. For saying that her mother wasn't lying there, she wouldn't have died instantly. She cried there for hours, and if she had to get medical aid, she would have lived.
They are horrific stories. There is no question about that, John. The point I was making at the time about post-internment and the unrest, it was generally an abnormal situation in West Belfast. I'm not in any way trying to justify the open fire by the paratroopers.
Oh, I understand,
but it wasn't the West Belfast of today. And some people who are now living in 2016 and who can't remember internment in the 1970s need almost to be reminded of the general backdrop at the time.
Yeah, but we'll have to decouple that from you had the army sweep, which was 4 o'clock in the morning. This happened between 8:30 and 9 o'clock that they're eating. The army, the sweep for the internment was over. It was done that there morning, and we can't put the two things together. Although there was an atmosphere that something else was going to happen. Well, what's happening next? You know, the paratroopers come in early hours of the morning and racking homes and driving into homes with their armored carriers and everything else. People were wondering what's happening next. And that's why my father was in that area. He wanted his brother to come to the sister's house for safety. And if you look at all of them, even like Frank Quinn, all of them, they're out in their own area on their arms of mercy trying to keep safe. Their loved ones, bring them to a safer place. And the likes of them, the farm on the ship, you had maybe four or five brave men, including Frank Quinn, running out to help these people in the field. That has to be remembered. There was no gunmen. And any test that was done, they were found proven that they weren't handling any arms.
It's no surprise that you're looking for answers, John. Thanks for coming on with us this morning.
I mean, what did it actually achieve? Closure? It doesn't seem to be. It seems to be that we're still living in the past. We had a peace process 20 years ago. We're meant to be moving forward 25 years ago. We're all talking about moving forward. We keep stepping back. We keep reminding the young ones of how people were treated. But on both sides, Frank, there wasn't a massacre there. We've got Le Mans, we've got Enniskillen. It's never seen to ban. You know, when they took the workmen out of the minibus, we've had a bit of coverage of that. But why do we keep going back and back? And I don't know, people want closure themselves personally. But the public says it. Is it the thing to do?
Well, Bill, in fairness, the other massacres have been discussed on this programme. King's Mill, quite rightly, was discussed very, very recently here. Yeah. But I don't see, when I have a conversation on the radio about the atrocities of the past, them as one side's massacre versus the other side's massacre. I just see it as murder, and people were murdered and they deserve answers. If your dad was walking down the street 50 years ago and was shot by the people who were in charge of keeping law and order, and you never got any answer as to why he was shot, would you not, to your dying day, ask for answers?
Frank, a lot of people have been asking questions and have no answers. That's the point I'm making. We can ask the question, ask them, but they keep blocking. This isn't about one side or the other.
Your criticism has been directed towards the likes of John Taggart for continuing to ask the question.
Yes, As I said, and I also stated for Bloody Sunday, it came to a point where it was almost repetitive. People were getting to the point where I think the British government went, yeah, let's put our hands up here. Let's give them what they want to hear and get done with it. But it doesn't seem to have happened. It seems to be, yeah, but they've still got these complaints and inquiries still being requested. And at the end of the day, Frank, are we living in the past? Are we looking to the future? We can't do anything about the past. I mean, it's gone.
But Bill, do you honestly think that the British government said yeah to the people in Derry, right, to get them away? Yeah, sure.
No, we did murder
your loved ones.
Don't misunderstand me. No, the people were murdered. But also we had, Frank, with young soldiers who were taken away and murdered by the people from close to the same area we're talking about. But no one actually phoned the RUC to say, we've got information. There's never been a thing about them to say young soldiers were taken away and murdered.
Bill, I'm with you. Listen, there are so many unanswered questions.
Yeah.
There are RUC widows asking for answers. There are people in Lochan Island asking for answers. There are people at Tiban asking for answers. People at King's Mill, of course. But should those people continue to ask questions about their loved ones while they're representing their dead loved one on earth, or should they draw a line under it and forget about the people who were murdered? You're suggesting they should forget about them and we should all move on as if there wasn't a past.
I'm not saying we can't move on as if there was no past. Learn from the past, what can we do?
Why are you knocking John Taggart for wanting the inquests?
I'm knocking on Christ. I'm not knocking him personally or his.
Yeah, but either we look back or we don't.
I'm not knocking anything, Frank. I'm actually saying to people, let's move. Let's look for the people who are alive around us. Let's look after them. Let's look to their future and see what we can do for them. We can't do anything for the people in the past. I mean, that's the point I'm making.
You could get them justice.
Sorry?
You could get them justice.
What is the justice? That's what I'm saying. The justice. And that's the point of media. Where the government turned around and said, yeah, they were unlawfully shot. Is that it? Is that what they're asking for? That, yeah, we did. People know in their own minds. Everyone knows what happened. You know, a lot of people. I mean.
But, Bill, hold on. Hold on. You can investigate. You can have inquests. You can try and get to the bottom of what happened. And maybe, just maybe, you might have the person who pulled the trigger in court. Just maybe. But at least you would have an apology from, say, the British government, or if it was indeed from a terrorist organisation or whoever. But you would have a situation where you got a conclusion to it. You've been searching all your life for an answer for the person who you love, as opposed to turning your back on them, drawing a line, and moving on, as you're suggesting.
Well, the thing about it is, this isn't 4 or 5 years ago or 4 or 5 months ago. This is 45 years ago. To bring someone to justice, they'd be in their mid-60s to 70 years of age to get someone to stand up there to say, yeah. But then people turn around and say, we were doing a job. We were under threat. We were doing a job. Our lives were in danger.
And they are. And Bill, they are entitled, absolutely, to defend themselves in court. But my goodness me, whoever they are, if they shot innocent people in the street, surely they should be tracked till the day they die.
Frank, I'll put you in another. I'll give you another scenario here. What about the young soldiers who went out to Iraq, Iran, came back with their limbs missing and everything else? What they were in the same kind of situation. They were injured, blown up, killed. They were targets again there. As people got sympathy for them.
Bill, I would like to think that we have sympathy for our injured soldiers from across in Iraq and Afghanistan, and I wouldn't insult them by comparing them to any soldier who shot an innocent man, woman or priest on the streets of West Belfast or Derry.